We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Call up, I'm drinking. Let's call up.
Yeah!
All I care about is money.
Oh, it is. It is. The 7 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show here on 560 WQAM. Streaming all over the internet. WQAM.com on the computer or on your smartphone. The radio.com app. However you listen, we appreciate your patronage here tonight. 720. We'll talk Florida Panthers. We'll break down the Mike Hoffman trade. And we'll get you ready for the draft, which is coming up this Friday. By the way, you can join 560 WQAM this Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for our exclusive coverage of the NHL draft. WQAM's NHL draft coverage is sponsored by Checkers Old Munchen German Restaurant, Bratz, Wiener Schnitzel, potato pancakes, pretzels with mustard, and lots of German beer. You'll get all this and more at Checkers Old Munchen German Restaurant in Pompano Beach, your world soccer tournament headquarters, where you can watch all the games. So make sure you tune in for our draft coverage this weekend. 560-22 is how you get in on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, but please do not text and drive. So you had two players today, two Miami Hurricanes players honored on the Athlon Sports preseason All-America teams. Jaquan Johnson, first-team safety, well-deserved. This is a guy who didn't really need to come back for his senior season, but is taking a gamble on himself because he thinks he can be a first-round draft pick next year, and he would like the chance to really go for a playoff spot this year with Miami. Miami are favorites to win the Coastal. They likely would not be favored in the ACC title game, depending on how things go this season, but Jaquan Johnson thinks he can accomplish something special. One of the best safeties in the country, no question about that. So the way Athlon Sports does this, they have four teams, four All-America teams, first team, second team, third team, fourth team. So Miami's lone representative on the first team, safety Jaquan Johnson, well-deserved. No representatives on the second team. They've got one third-teamer. I think he could have been higher than this, but there are a lot of good linebackers in the country on paper. Shaq Quarterman, third-team linebacker representing your Hurricanes. And then no fourth-teamers. FSU's got a bunch of guys on the list. Alabama, obviously, bunch of guys on these lists. Clemson. Two Miami Hurricanes players made Athlon Sports preseason All-America teams. Jaquan Johnson, first-team safety. Shaq Quarterman, third-team linebacker. My question to you is, which player, and I expect both of those guys to be fantastic, of course. Jaquan Johnson and Shaq Quarterman will both be anchors of that defense this year. Which players on Hurricanes football this season will make Athlon regret leaving them off the preseason list? I'll give you a guy who's coming off of an injury that really slowed his progress last year. I think Amon Richards is going to have a special season this year, going into his junior season at wide receiver. I know it's easy to forget Amon after hamstring issues and then knee surgery to end the year, right? So he was a blip on the radar last season after dominating as a true freshman, so it's easy to overlook the guy. He was cleared to practice officially last week, so when fall camp starts, no restrictions on Amon Richards, and I think he's going to be coming back for kind of a revenge year. I think he's going to be great this year. And that even goes, even if you don't think Malik Rozier is a great quarterback who's likely going to be your starter, that's fine. He is still going to find Amon Richards. And what is Malik Rozier? Any criticism you have against the guy, he does throw deep very well, and Amon Richards is extremely fast and an extremely good route runner. I think the two of them will hook up for a lot of special plays this coming season. I think Amon Richards, I understand why he's not on this list because he had a forgettable 2017, but I think he's going to make Athlon regret leaving him off that list with what he's going to accomplish in 2018. I would say the same for Travis Homer. Now, Travis Homer, You may think, well, Dono, he may get lost in that backfield a little bit because you've got so many options there that they're going to cannibalize his production between DJ Dallas, Lorenzo Lingard coming in, and Lorenzo Lingard, I think within the next few years, is going to be all over the Athlon Sports first team preseason after this year, after his true freshman year. Cam Davis coming in as a true freshman. It's such a deep backfield. Maybe that takes away from what Travis Homer does. I think Travis Homer is still the man in that backfield. Maybe he's not going to be getting more than 20 carries in a lot of games, but I think he's going to make the most of it. I think he's going to score a lot of touchdowns, and he's going to be the guy who starts most of these series for Miami. And if the trajectory he showed last year after taking over for Mark Walton is any indication, I think Travis Homer is somebody who may have not made any of these preseason All-America teams, but is going to make one of the postseason All-America teams. And then going back to the defense, I look at a guy like Joe Jackson at defensive end, who he's on a watch list. You know, he's not on the Athlon All-America team, but he is on the Ronnie Lott Impact Trophy preseason watch list going into his junior season. Defensive end Joe Jackson. Demetrius Jackson might also have a hell of a year. He's coming off of injury, but he's going to be a fifth-year senior this year. Yeah, I think there are another handful of defensive players, even to go along with Shaq Quarterman and Jaquan Johnson. You got a couple more linebackers in Michael Pinckney, especially, who could end up on one of these postseason teams. So, yeah, you can say Miami only having two guys on the preseason All-America list, one through fourth team, is a little bit of a slap in the face. I think the two guys who made the list, they certainly got it right. And I think there's another handful of players that by the time the season ends, will show they belong there. Pinckney, a texter, writes, yeah, Michael Pinckney, another. You could probably take all three of those starting linebackers for Miami and put them on teams one through four between Shaq Quarterman, who is the best of that bunch, but Michael Pinckney and Zach McLeod as well. You got plenty of options there, man. Plenty of options as far as filling out a team like that for the Canes. 560-22 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's talk to Bo. Bo knows. What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Long time, my friend. How you been?
Good, and you?
Very good.
Been back away for this season, but like you say, that's a total slap in the face and a kick and a spit. How do you not have Joe Jackson at least on second team?
Right,
man?
Right. Yeah, he's not on teams one through four. I think he's going to prove these guys wrong.
That's a slap in the face. Go look at that kid numbers from a freshman year to his. Do they have Burns on there? Burns from Florida State?
I believe so. I don't have the full list in front of me. I just wrote down the Miami guys, but I do believe he is on there from FSU. I'll have
That's
to go back
I'm
and
saying.
Look.
He can, all the career they've been trying to have Burns over Joe Jackson. He's not on Joe Jackson level. He was even ranked higher than Joe, but he's not on Joe Jackson level. How do you not have Michael Jackson on there?
Oh, by the way, our producer Matt looked at the list, and Burns from Florida State is not on the list, actually.
Okay, then. Oh, thank you. He was on there, it was proud. But how is not Michael Jackson not on there,
right,
and he's being projected as a first-round pick by the NFL?
Probably going to have six turnover chains this year, by the way.
Hey, four interceptions, fumble recon. That kid, what he did this year shows you that Mike Rump, the DB coach, man, they are coaching up the DBs, and you seen it when it was with Corn Elder and the other guy, Colbert, how they took their game to another level. Now you had Michael Jackson last year, who nobody was talking about. This year, I'm thinking that's going to be Dean. Dean is going to show up like Michael Jackson.
Yes, sir.
But how could you not have him on that list? There's a lot of people, like you say, Amon Richards. How Amon Richards is not on the list, and he's been projected as a top 10, top 15 NFL draft pick.
I just think it's lazy because I think that they probably went back and looked at stats from last year. And, yeah, Amon Richards' stats didn't jump off the page because he was injured all year and didn't play the last few games. So I think they just left him off as like an oversight.
That's all they're really just being lazy. But it goes for offense, too. This guy's on there to sneak in at least 14. Travis Homer at least could be on the 14.
Right.
That man rushed for 900 and some yards, and he started like midway through the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's just total slap in the face. They do not want Miami to be back, but there's nothing they can do. The writing is on the wall, but they so scared, so they just trying to downplay everything, even the refs. Don't let me get on them. But like you talking about Linger, all that, those kids are going to be household names. DJ Dallas, I mean, we so loaded on offense, so it's a shame. It's up to the quarterback and the offensive line to take that next step. Because what we did last year, we were supposed to do this year. Now we need to kick that door down. Clemson, we need to get by Clemson like it took us all those years to get by Florida State. But I'm just upset that ain't more Canes on that list.
Me too.
From 1-4, man. I'd even go as far as go ahead and say Gerald Willis, even though he ain't been playing. But if that kid stay healthy.
Right.
Oh, they're going to be all over Gerald Willis.
You're right. I think that's another guy. Like, I understand, obviously, why Gerald Willis is not on this list because the guy hasn't played in a couple of years. But I think he's going to be – he didn't make the preseason list. I think he'll be on the postseason list.
Yeah. Gerald Willis is going to be a beast if he stays healthy. And you said the other name, too, Demetrius Jackson.
Yep.
Before Demetrius Jackson got hurt, that kid was tearing it up. Man, Miami – and everybody went, oh, Miami ain't got no D-line. That's a line to have. We got depth now. We got the red dude coming in from Illinois. He got time up there. We got John Ford. We got Willis. We got, man, I'm telling you, it's up to the O-line and the quarterback to take us to that next level, man. Thanks for the call.
I love it. Always love, and you know that football's around the corner when Bo calls in. You know that, man. You know what, though? Mark Rick sees this. Only two guys on the preseason All-America teams. He loves it. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you, Mark Rick looks at this and says, oh, I am chomping at the bit to use this to motivate my guys, right? Four All-America teams from Athlon Sports. First team, second team, third team, fourth team. You're telling me we only have two guys on the entire list. Jaquan Johnson, first team safety, and both well-deserved, by the way. And Shaq Quarterman, third team linebacker. No Amon Richards, no Travis Homer, no Joe Jackson, no Demetrius Jackson. Mark Rick looks at that and he says, I cannot wait to talk to my players about this, to talk about proving these critics wrong and showing them how many of you guys belong on these preseason All-America teams.
Well, we're also forgetting the most important thing. FAU has an All-American on there. That's the most important thing. Just letting you know. That's all of what the audience
Who do you got here. On there?
Devin Singletary. The rushing king last year.
Didn't you tell me that, like, at FAU now, they're so desperate to get people to come to their football games, they've had to slash the prices of beer?
No, they did it to help the students because students are poor.
What, help the students? FAU? It's probably, like, the richest student population that's in the Lynn country.
That's Lynn University. That's the private school in Boca.
Well, yeah, but those who can't get into Lynn just go to FAU. It's in Boca. How could that not be the richest school in the country?
Because FAU is, like, the cheapest school to get into.
Yeah, but that's, like, the country club of state schools, though. That is the country club of state universities.
I would say like North Florida is. If you look at North Florida, their campus is beautiful.
Yeah.
And doesn't offer much else.
I don't know, man.
That's what a country club is.
Text me yes or no, 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Yes or no, FAU is the country club of state schools in Florida. I think it is.
People are just jealous. It's a great school with, you know, the beach 1.8 miles away.
Wow. I love how you know the exact – how many kilometers away are you? You probably know every permutation.
I'd assume it's maybe two. I don't know the kilometers. I don't know that. It just says it everywhere at our school.
Oh, man. We'll talk with Randy Moeller. Red Deer – oh, actually, by the way, this is an interesting text. Dono, I love Amon Richards, but is he trending towards a Stacy Coley career? All the talent, but always injured. Well,
ooh, that's a good point.
But here's the difference, though. I haven't seen this, at least not yet, from Amon. I think Stacy Coley had a lot of personal things as well, right? Whether it comes to, I think there's a lot of stuff going on in his life, even outside of the injuries, that may have affected his attitude and affected his career at Miami. I don't see evidence of that for Amon Richards. I think as for right now, I'm going to assume that Amon Richards will, and Stacy Coley had a good senior year, but had trouble the sophomore and the junior year. I don't have any reason to believe that Amon Richards is going to bounce back his junior year in a big way. So I hope it's not heading in that direction. I hope it's not. Like, I hope Amon Richards doesn't have, like, both a lost sophomore and a junior year like Stacy Coley had. We'll talk with Red Deer Randy Moeller. We'll talk some Panthers. You got the draft coming up this Friday night. You can listen to it here on QAM. And the Panthers made a trade today, acquiring a 20-plus goal scorer in Mike Hoffman, former Ottawa Senator who was a San Jose Shark for a couple of hours. Now he's a Florida Panther. We'll discuss that and more next. back here on the Alex Dono Show, 560 WQAM. Remember, we're three nights away from Panthers draft coverage, NHL draft coverage on this radio station. The draft will be live in Dallas. I'll be here in studio, and Randy Moeller, who joins us now, and Doug Plagans will be on location at Big D. Randy Moeller joins us now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Red Deer, how are we doing tonight, my friend?
How are you there, the big elbow?
I'm doing very well, and the Panthers are not even waiting till the draft to do things this week, acquiring Mike Hoffman today. Let's start, Randy, on the hockey side. Hoffman, a 20-goal scorer plus in each of the past 4 years. Where do you think he could fit in? Second liner? And what do you think he's going to add to this Panthers club?
Well, I know Panther fans are so excited, and so am I, when that trade was announced. Mike Hoffman will fit in perfectly on the Vincent Trocheck line, and he could, not put any pressure on him, to get 30, 35 goals.
He has
that type of speed. He's got a great shot. He will help the Panthers' power play immensely, and I'm so excited. And the big thing is this player, Mike Hoffman, for the Ottawa Senators last year, was being offered around a little bit, and it was a top prospect and a first-round pick. Well,
wow.
The Panthers did not have to give up a top prospect, a draft or a first-round draft pick, and they didn't have to give up a player off their roster, off their team. So I think it was a great deal by Dale Talon. I can't wait to get Mike Hoffman in and with this hockey club. And I tell you what, if he scores 30 goals, this Panther team with the talent that they have will be a team to reckon with in the Eastern Conference.
You know, Randy, I was telling people last hour that I have so much faith in the way Dale Talon does his job and the due diligence that he puts into every move he makes. You know, there are people trying to swirl controversy with Hoffman, and to me, it's a little bit of a reach, and I don't know what to do with this when there are allegations that we don't know or how real and how true these are, not against Hoffman, but again against his fiance, Randy. So how do you think that weighed in to maybe getting him at a bargain and what Dale Talon had to look at before making this move?
Well, I think Dale Talon, and I'll never speak for him, but I believe that not only Dale Talon, but the team did their due diligence. They did their investigating, and they are very comfortable in bringing in Mike Hoffman in a culture, in a locker room that we all know is very, very good. And it's a good young team with good leadership, young and older leadership in that Panther locker room. I can't, for the life of me, believe, this is just my personal opinion, that the Panthers would go and get something that would disrupt the chemistry and the culture that they've built in that locker room. I just don't think they would ever do that.
Right.
So what that tells me is everything is on the up and up, and Mike Hoffman will come in and he will do the job not only on the ice but off the ice, and we'll just move forward. I think things have been maybe blown out of proportion. I don't know. I don't have any insight. There's been allegations. There's been a few stories that have been written. But the one thing that I'm looking at, that other stuff will sort itself out. What I'm looking at is the Panthers have a legitimate perennial 30-goal scorer that still has 2 years left on his contract. So,
right.
That's a real positive as well. This player is still signed for the next 2 years.
This is always a player, Randy, that has impressed me watching him in Ottawa. And, you know, anytime I'm preparing for a broadcast, you know, I do the players to watch. And so many times it came down, is this the Mike Hoffman game? Is this an Erik Karlsson game? He's always a guy who stands up in the player spotlight because he's been such a prolific goal scorer. Can you talk a little bit about his style of play, Randy, and how that may fit what Bob Bugner is looking for?
Well, the Panthers are definitely, as you mentioned, you kind of teased there, that the Panthers have rotated wingers playing on the Vincent Trocheck line on that second line, and they've tried different players. Well, I believe Mike Hoffman would be a perfect fit. Now, whether that happens or not, we'll have to wait and see. But this is a player, the game has gotten so fast. He's a fast skating player. He's got a rocket for a shot. He's scored 29 goals in his career 1 year. He had 27 goals another year in his career over the last 4 years. He has proven he's a goal scorer. He's a threat on the power play. And there's nothing but positives about the on ice. And he has shown that he's a good leader as well on the ice. And he takes care of himself. And they've done their due diligence. And I think there's a lot of teams around the NHL that are very jealous right now.
Yeah.
Not only because they got one of the top wingers in the NHL, but also, too, they got him. The price they paid for him was very, very, very minimal. And when you just add just draft picks and no players off your roster and not a first round pick, you're getting a quality player like that. I think there's a lot of teams and general managers are probably a little jealous of Dale Talon.
Red Deer Randy Moeller joins us here on WQAM. We're getting ready for draft night Friday night on WQAM. Randy, as you would say, it's going to be a ring-a-ding-a-dong dandy this Friday night at 7 p.m. Panthers with the 15th overall pick in the first round. Is there an area or two of specific needs position-wise do you think the Panthers will try and address, or is this going to be about best player available?
You just named it right there, the best player available. They want to, and there's a little caveat to this. They will pick 15th overall. I don't think they have any expectations of, if they take that 15th pick, to have that player step into the lineup.
Hmm.
The good news is the Panthers are not in a position. They have enough depth in the organization. They don't need a 15th overall pick to step in and try and make a contribution right away. So they want to make sure that they take a player that within 2 and possibly 3 years will make a huge impact once he steps into the league. So will they take somebody that has a lot of upside right now, or a bit of a project that they know that they can sit on and make sure that they develop properly in 2 to 3 years that then will come in? That's the homework that the Panthers are doing right now. And I know that they've got their short list. There's a number of quality players, but either way, they're going to get a quality player, and if they develop that player the proper way, which they will, and giving them an opportunity to succeed, the player will come in and be an attribute right away in the NHL.
Red Deer Randy Moeller, I know you've been through Dallas where the draft is going to be. You've been through there many times as a player or a broadcaster. Do you prefer Tex-Mex or Texas barbecue? What do you go for in Dallas?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. One of the first times I ever went to Dallas, my broadcast partner at the time was a Hall of Famer, Jiggs McDonald.
Oh, I love Jiggs.
And we went to a restaurant and I ate goat.
Wow.
Goat.
I wouldn't think of that in Texas,
good,
goat.
But,
wow.
But that was part of a Tex-Mex, and we had goat. But you can't go wrong with barbecue. You can't go wrong with Tex-Mex. I love Big D. There's great bars and restaurants in that city. So I'm looking forward to it. And with Doug Plagans and Jameson Olive, we'll be having full coverage on WQAM, not only Friday night, but Saturday as well. So it should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. And then we come right back into development camp and into free agency. And that's where I think the Panthers are going to really make some noise.
Where do you set the bar, Randy, for this coming season? Playoffs or bust? Where do you think Dale Talon and company
are? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anything short of a playoff spot. Now that they've acquired a sniper like Mike Hoffman, who's a legitimate 25 to 30 goal scorer, there's no reason why. The Panthers have another weapon on the power play. They've got their winger for the second line. I love the way this roster and this team and the depth chart of this team is starting to really fill out. They will add to the depth through the draft, and they've got a lot of other players. Owen Tippett is, what kind of effect will he have? Will he make the team this year? I believe he will. And then you've got Borgstrom as well. What kind of year will he have and an opportunity? What line and combination will he play? So the Panthers have set themselves up very, very well. I can't wait for training camp and see how things solidify as they get ready for the opening.
We love him. Red Deer Randy Moeller. You watch him broadcasting at ice level on Fox Sports Florida. You can hear him on this radio station this Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. with our draft coverage alongside Doug Plagans and myself. And you follow him on Twitter at @HeyRedDeer. Red Deer Randy Moeller, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alex. And quick before I let you go as well, you're enjoying the World Cup. I've enjoyed. I'm not.
That's right. Yeah, you've been watching some of the games, right?
Oh, I've watched every game.
Nice.
I've watched parts of every game, and what I am enjoying is some of the upsets and some of these lesser known or smaller countries getting points against some of the big perennial favorites. I think it's great for the sport. I'm not the biggest soccer fan. But when it comes to World Cup, it's like the Olympics. I watch, I'm interested, and I think it's the entertainment's been outstanding.
You know what I saw today, and maybe you saw this, and if you haven't, you can probably find the highlight on the internet. A soccer play that reminded me of something that happens in hockey games. It was in Senegal's 2-1 victory over Poland. Senegal scored this goal to go up 2-0 in the second half that essentially was the dagger. And the way that it went down, Randy, was Senegal had an injured player getting quick treatment on the sideline. And so the officials, like when you have an injured player coming back in, the referees kind of find a good time to send the player back on the field. This guy happened to run back on the field right in time for a counterattack to get the ball and score a goal. It reminded me of in hockey when a player comes out of the penalty box right at a time when the puck is going in his direction and he scores a goal on the breakaway. That, like, I felt like, and it's not a thing you see happen a lot in soccer, I felt like it was a hockey play.
Oh, that's great. And I think it's great for the sport. I really enjoyed it. The only negative that I have about the whole World Cup, I understand it's in Russia, but I wish that there would be some late afternoon or evening games that we could watch.
Yeah.
Even on tape delay.
Right, right, right. I think that in, like, World Cups years ago, I think we went the tape delay route sometimes. Especially when it's been in Asia, but I guess they just decided in the age of social media, everyone's going to know the scores anyway. We'll just stick to the live stuff.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. It's unfortunate everything's over by like 4 o'clock in the afternoon every day and that. But I'll take the positive. I know you're enjoying it as well. Who's your favorite?
You know, I had initially said, Randy, that I was rooting for Croatia because a couple of players from the club that I root for play for that team, but I decided, you know what, with the primary teams I root for both didn't qualify, Italy and the USA. I just kind of thought, I'm just going to enjoy the games, and I'm not going to jump on a bandwagon or anything like that. I'm just going to sit back and just enjoy the fun and the chaos. So I really don't have a team.
All right. Well, enjoy it. And Matt, thanks for having me on, Alex.
Of course. My pleasure. You love him. Red Deer Randy Moeller. You know, I want to go back to basketball when we come back. With free agency coming up, I know that fans put a lot of pressure on Pat Riley. Got to go out there and get that whale, right? You got to harpoon the whale. I don't care what the salary cap situation is. I don't care what kind of pieces you have to trade. Fans always believe, and I understand why you believe this, because he's proven it time and time again, that Riley always has a trick up his sleeve. Riley always has an option. So I will give you my top three lists when we come back. Top three roster moves Pat Riley can make this summer. If he can do even one of these, fantastic. If he can do all three, he's a god. Start building that statue right now. The Alex Dono Show continues next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Blessed are the lies, for the truth can be awkward.
Interesting tweet that I got a couple segments ago. You can get me at Alex Dono, Dono spelled D-O-N-N-O on Twitter. Sports radio is dangerous until LeBron retires. It's funny because for the most part, the majority of listeners to any sports radio station in the country, including this one, the majority of people who watch ESPN, the majority of people who are big enough sports fans that they visit sports websites daily, right? Whether it be ESPN.com, CBSSports.com, sports blogs like Barstool or The Big Lead. If you visit sports pages and you consume sports talk and watch sports discussions on TV every day, most of you are captivated or at least intrigued by the LeBron James speculation, right? I think that's a really easy take and a fair thing to say, because there's a reason why ESPN and every sports station in the country will discuss LeBron's future, because people care about it. People enjoy speculating. People enjoy wondering, does he take his talents to Hollywood? Does he go to Philadelphia? Does he come back to Miami? Does he join Chris Paul in Houston and James Harden? What does LeBron do next? Now, it doesn't mean you can please everybody with that, right? Because there is, and I believe they're in the minority, but there are a loud minority of people out there who just say, my God, I cannot wait until NBA free agency is over and we can just move on with our lives. That I'm so tired and so disgusted by all the LeBron speculation, all the Kawhi Leonard speculation. Wake me up when they have their new teams, and don't bother me with all this fortune telling before that time comes. I believe those people are in the minority, but those people certainly exist. What I would ask you is, what would be the lead story on these sports stations and these sports TV shows if you took LeBron out of the discussion? What would be the lead story? What would be the primary topic of conversation? Would you be down with 4 hours of me talking World Cup? I could do it. I don't know if you'd like it, but I could do it for 4 hours. Would you like 4 hours of breaking down Mike Hoffman and getting ready for the NHL draft, or getting ready for the NBA draft this Thursday, for that matter?
Hey, we could talk to Lonnie Walker.
You know what? Lonnie Walker, I can give a few thoughts on him. Look at the other side of the coin here, because I've had enough Canes fans already text me tonight, even though Biff saying his name, that's the first time his name has been uttered on this show tonight. We talked about him yesterday. But what Biff just said was the first time the name Lonnie Walker has been uttered tonight. And yet I've already received a handful of texts with people talking about, oh, Donna, with Lonnie Walker leaving early and Bruce Brown leaving and you know, the cloud of the FBI investigation, even though Miami has been vindicated, it still hurt recruiting. This is really coming up for a tough time in Hurricanes basketball. I can't believe Lonnie Walker is leaving early. Can I give you a positive with Lonnie Walker leaving early, right? For as much as it sucks to lose one of your best players after a freshman season, now you can look at Miami. And I am going to assume Lonnie Walker almost certainly a lottery pick, maybe even a top 10 pick, right? Unless something unforeseen happens on draft night. I can't imagine he falls out of the lottery range. I think he's going to be a top 10 pick. Lonnie Walker's a top 10 pick. You do have that badge of honor on the program to say, we have just produced a top 10 pick. Probably the second best pro to come out of Miami since Rick Barry. Top 10 pick, lottery pick, one and done guy. We can do that here in Miami. That's not a bad thing to sell the program with, right? As much as it stinks to lose a guy who, if he stayed for a sophomore and a junior year, could become one of the best players in the country. And you could already argue he was that, but could become really one of the best and most clutch players in the country, period, if he stayed beyond the freshman year. But having a one-and-done guy, it can help recruiting in the long term, because you can show some of the best high school players in the country. If you want to go the one-and-one route, or if you want to see that we can produce high-quality NBA talent, look at Lonnie Walker, that we have had that here in Miami, that Miami is now becoming a big-time program where a McDonald's All-American, a five-star blue chipper will come here and be the one-and-done type of guy, that Miami can be a school that is in that conversation, that can help you in recruiting moving forward. So I'm not saying losing Lonnie Walker is a bad thing, or is a good thing, I should say. It's not a good thing to lose him, but it's also not a terrible thing, because you can use that as a badge of honor on your resume to sell the program to future recruits.
Well, as long as he's not doing popping shot, he's all right.
What happened to him in Papa Shot?
So I guess they're obviously already getting ready for the draft and stuff like that. They must be wherever in New York. And they were at a looked like Dave and Buster's. Okay. Him and Trae Young doing Papa Shot. And, man, Trae Young smoked him.
So he kicked Lonnie Walker's ass?
Oh, destroyed him. Wow. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
He destroyed him. Like, I mean, it wasn't even a contest. I think after a while, Lonnie Walker just started looking at him like, what the heck? Like, just like, boom. So as long as he's not playing Pop and Shot, he's a good player.
So if Lonnie Walker does fall out of the top 10 or out of the top 15, look no further than the Papa Shot video. That if NBA, like if the New York Knicks are watching that right now, we got to take Lonnie off of our draft board. The kid sucks at Papa Shot. You know what I want to see? I want to see Lonnie Walker versus Mark Hochman, my champion, in Papa Shot. I don't give Hawk credit for a lot of things, but I give him credit for being the most impressive Papa Shot player I've ever seen in person. Right? Like outside of the occasional YouTube video of, oh, this is the most amazing Papa Shot player ever that will pop up in your Twitter timeline, any Papa Shot player I've ever seen in person, Mark Hochman is by far the best. He's impressive. He doesn't have a whole lot of cardio. Once you get like beyond round three, he starts to tire out a little bit. But he's very potent in the first couple of rounds. I would love to see Hawk versus Lonnie Walker, versus Trae Young even, who kicked Lonnie Walker's ass.
I was about to say, Lonnie Walker's not really the competition anymore.
Yeah.
He just has to wait for, you know, the stupid draft.
Like, I'm sure that there are some geeks out there who could beat, like, Roger Federer at ping pong, right? Like, it doesn't correlate to tennis the same way Hochman beating Trae Young at Papa Shot doesn't correlate to actual basketball, but I think maybe he can do it. He's that good at it.
Well, I mean, like, the Asian countries and stuff like that dominated in the Olympics.
Right.
Roger Federer is not out there winning an Olympic medal for, I'm trying to think of the country he's from.
He is from Switzerland.
Yeah, he's not winning it for Switzerland.
Yeah. Switzerland. That's a strange country, Switzerland. Everything's very expensive there.
They're very neutral, I hear.
Yeah, they are. Even though they make knives. I guess they make those just in case. Like, just in case crap goes down.
Like, they're like knives, but they're like protection kits, too. So, yeah. You know, it's a weapon, but it's safety, too. So it's in between.
560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. So I have here the top three roster moves Pat Riley can make this summer. Again, if he can make even one of these moves, it's a job well done. If he can make all three moves, he is a god. So you think I should do that at 8 o'clock, Biff? We should tease that for 8?
Oh, we got to keep them on their seats.
All right, we'll keep them on the edge. See, that's producing right there, my friend. What you just did there, that is producing. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. By the way, the latest on LeBron's next destination, and he didn't answer, I want people to answer my question. If LeBron James wasn't the lead story on every national and local sports show, what would the lead story be? Would it be dominated by World Cup coverage, even though America is not in the World Cup, the United States of America, that is? Would it be Kawhi Leonard's next team, trade speculation? If you take LeBron out of the equation, what would be the lead story on national and local sports shows? Because LeBron James is dominating both of those things. Chris Paul, friend of LeBron, Banana Boat, he's telling people that LeBron wants to go to Los Angeles. This from probasketballtalk.com. It's starting to feel more and more like a long shot that LeBron James will choose the Rockets over the Lakers in a few weeks. What is in Houston is one of the closest friends in the league, Chris Paul, who, according to Stephen A. Smith, is telling people LeBron is not trying to come to Houston because he wants to be in Los Angeles. Quote, Chris Paul is telling folks LeBron ain't trying to come to Houston. He wants to be in L.A. These are things I'm getting through the grapevine, said Stephen A. Chris Paul is saying LeBron wants to be in L.A. This just adds more fuel to the fire with yet another person claiming LeBron wants to be playing in Los Angeles. Perhaps if any two people have a good grasp on what LeBron is thinking, it would be Paul and Stephen A., who was the first to report he was going to Miami, and one of the first to say he wanted to return to Cleveland. Stephen A. Smith added that LeBron could go to the Lakers first or wait to see what else Magic Johnson can add because it may not be Paul George. Quote, folks are not so sure Paul George is coming to L.A., said Stephen A. Another interesting scenario to keep an eye on is if LeBron comes to the Lakers without George, That would leave them enough cap room to sign Kawhi Leonard next season if they are unable to acquire him via trade. Whether LeBron would take that risk remains the question. The Cavaliers, Lakers, Rockets, and 76ers have been the four teams linked with LeBron James for months, and at this point, the Lakers feel like heavy favorites for one of the greatest players of all time. And that fits with something that Ira Winterman was saying, that it sounds as though LeBron potentially already has his mind made up that LA is the place he wants to be for lifestyle, comfort, family wants to be there. He's already got two mansions there, that's an approved destination by his sons, by his wife, by his mother, by the people he works with, who I'm sure Maverick Carter and Rich Paul would not mind setting up shop in LA to run their businesses versus Cleveland to run their businesses.
Space Jam 2.
Right, right. And LeBron would have a firm location for the movie career and the entertainment mogul career with Uninterrupted that goes along with his basketball. So it sounds like he may have already made his mind up for lifestyle reasons, but then if you can get another all-star, another all-pro caliber player or two, all-NBA caliber player, I should say, if you can get another one of those or two there in the form of maybe Paul George, maybe Kawhi Leonard, that would just sweeten the pot. That would be the icing on the cake for LeBron. I'll ask this, though. I don't put much stock into this. I really don't. I don't put much stock into this argument because I think, to me, LeBron James has already, for the most part, written his legacy as one of the best players to ever grace this game, and that he may not be directly competing with Michael Jordan the way some of us think he is or should be, that I think LeBron's legacy, for the most part, is already written. But do you think if LeBron goes to a third team and doesn't win a championship with that third team, that it weakens his legacy because it makes him look like a ring chaser who fails, right? That LeBron's next destination, if not Cleveland, if not staying in Cleveland, if he goes anywhere else, especially if it's not Miami, if it's a third team, if he joins LA or he joins Philly or he joins Boston or Houston, that the next place LeBron goes, if he can't win a ring there, it weakens his legacy to go to a third team and not win. I don't believe that because I think, to me, LeBron, he's changing the rules of perception, that people don't hold him to the same standard as Michael Jordan, that spent the vast majority of his career with one team. You know, some people kind of forget about the Wizards years after the short retirement. Vast majority of his career with one team, six championships with one team, 6-0 in the NBA Finals, had the overall consistent supporting cast. Scottie Pippen was always there. Phil Jackson was always there. Some of the other key pieces did change throughout the 1990s, but there was consistency in Jordan's career. That's the way you've got to do it. Well, LeBron James has conducted his career in a different way, and I think he's changing the rules as he goes along. But would it weaken his legacy if he goes to a third team and doesn't win a title? I'll have my Donos top three next here on QAM.
Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.